Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 70, The Trout's Come Through.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston.
Bastards and Wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I am King Baby Duck.
I'm Bluonic.
I'm Anvil.
And we just finished watching the Rally to Restore Sanity and or Fear on Comedy Central, hosted by Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, featuring guests like Sheryl Crow, Kid Rock, Tony Bennett, The Roots,
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar,
R2-D2,
yep,
Ozzy Osbourne,
a seven-year-old girl,
the OJs.
Who else is there? I can't remember. I don't know. It was 2 seconds ago.
Jeff Tweedy.
Kid Rock.
Well, I said Kid Rock already.
Yeah, but I wanted to say him, so...
Kid Rock again. Well, wait, what was his name on the green screen?
T.I.
Yeah, T.I. was green screen because of the fact that he's going to prison again, so...
Yep.
Yeah. But Yusef was there.
Gotta love that.
The former Cat Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
Cat Stevens. Yes. Cat Stevens.
Yeah, he was good.
What? No. Stop singing. Stop. Anyways, so what do we got going on today?
Nothing.
Besides nothing.
We did visit the Lovesack grand opening.
Yeah, there was the Lovesack grand opening. It was awesome. I mean, the store is, you know, nice little place. Easy to like just, you know, walk up to. I mean, it was just funny because a lot of people that were walking by, they were kind of like, what the hell, you know? And they saw us in there, and they're like, and of course, the Anvil had to go and do his creepy little wave. Go ahead, do your creepy little wave, you stupid bastard. Anyways, so he was doing the creepy little wave, and the people were like, what the hell's going on in here? It's a grand opening. I wish they put up a big, you know, sign that said grand freaking opening. So, but yeah, I mean, the setup was awesome. We have some great pictures. We're working on the article right now, and we're going to be putting up the pictures very soon.
We were chatting with Chris, who is very down to earth, and not only that, but he knows his shit.
Yeah,
Chris knows everything. He knows what you are looking for, even right before you're just about to say it. He's like a mind reader of some sort.
He's brilliant in his own way. I mean, it's just, he was just able to help out everybody and anybody. And I mean, I felt bad for him because he said that it was a soft opening.
Yes.
Because of the fact that he's so busy, and then also he looked kind of tired, but he probably loves to just lay down on the couches anyways just to talk with people.
Yes.
Just to relax. I mean, how sweet of a job is it? Sit down, chill out, relax, talk with the people, and even take the couch apart right in front of them and then put it back together.
Yeah.
Not that bad of a deal.
It's like playing Tetris right then and there.
Yeah.
And just try out the different furniture and such. And like we said beforehand, we wouldn't plug shit. We wouldn't plug anything that we were
you know, be paid for or anything like that. We want to go in there without any bias or anything like that. We felt that as soon as we sat in these, you know, couches, it was just instant comfort, and you just liked the whole setup. Now, what was your feeling about it, Anvil, seeing that you didn't get to go to the event, but you're able to hang out and plop down on the couch?
Well, myself as an athlete, you know, playing as, you know, a defensive football player, I'm used to sacking a quarterback. Yeah. I walked in and I got sacked.
Yeah.
Yes.
He got sacked by this big blue chair. Like, it's like a bean bag, except there's no beans in it.
It's like
the Tempur-Pedic sort of
thing. They chipped it up and everything like that and tossed it into this awesome bag and then put an awesome wrapping around it and you plop down into it. You can't bottom out unless you're pushed into it. I figured really that. You really have to be pushed hard into it in order to bottom out.
Considering every one of us got pushed in twice before one of us finally bottomed out.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. I mean, even when we the first person who popped into it and then got up, all we saw was it rise back up. And yeah. He was like, that's a sweet thing. And then, of course...
No butt crease.
Yeah, exactly. And he fell in love with this black one because he was just like, oh, it's so great because of the fact I'm wearing black. It's like camouflaged. And we took a picture of him with his hood over his head and just hiding up in the couch. You can't even see him in the picture. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's perfect. So if you go and piss off the significant other in your, you know, whole thing, you just, you know, plop down in that, wear black, and they'd be like, where the hell are you?
And then, unfortunately, they might get pissed off and try to jump on your chair and you catch a knee to the groin.
Yeah, but you got to take the chance. If you're, if you were a sniper, you got to take that chance anyway.
You'd be like, oh, my balls, but at least this furniture's comfortable. Yeah.
No, but, I mean, to go there and actually hang out in the Burlington Mall and everything like that was a great thing, especially walking around aimlessly, trying to find it, first of all, because...
Only to find out it was just...
It was straight fucking across from where we actually entered the freaking mall, but... I mean, it was awesome just to actually walk around in Burlington Mall. I've never been there, and really? I don't get out much, but when I was able to walk around there, I was like, damn, this is a huge mall.
Well, see, I've never been there either, but I knew exactly where I was going, because I watched Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Yeah, they filmed that movie right
there. Yeah, they
then.
Filmed
and
that
there. You had all the cops on their Segways, and I'm like, it's the real life Paul Blart.
Yeah. Well, a lot of them weren't fat. They were actually pretty skinny.
I saw one fat guy, but he was scared. Older.
Oh, yeah, there was that one. Too, but I don't know. It was just an awesome, you know, little opening and everything like that. Awesome for you to go in there and sit down. I mean, we were able to hook some people in and actually get them to be like, you know what, come on in. They're like, are you here to sell? No, we're not here to sell. We're here for our own like little side business here. But we're helping them out by bringing people in to this little, you know, sit down, get comfortable, and hang the hell out because that's what it is.
I mean, those three elder people that came in, it was like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, especially like, with that, they love the purple couch.
The purple couch. The Snoopity Diggity Dog one.
Slash, what's his name?
Don Wall. There. Yeah, Prince.
Yeah, but...
I thought you were going for Don the Magic Wand.
No. Well, we also mentioned him, but yeah, they liked the actual
purple
material.
Purple fuzzy.
Yeah, it was one of like the high-end, you know, stuff that they had for the couch covers. But it definitely was a great setup, you know, to go in there with how the different shapes of the couches and everything like that. I think the coolest thing was the little blocks that they had, so you could actually put together your design right there and then and say, this is what I want. And I was able to do that right in front of him, and he went, holy crap, that's a crazy-ass design. I like it. Yes. You know, he wasn't like, I don't think you're going to be able to do that. He was like, dude... Definitely, you got to do that.
And
so,
that's the thing. That's just with the minimum amount of blocks that they had. Imagine if you had twice as many blocks, you'd be like, okay,
I want this
crazy fucking thing right here.
Yeah, I would have put the whole, like, the whole, you know, block thing in the way. Actually,
I wanted to take out the whole room.
Yeah, with my idea, I want to take half the room away with just the couch. So you can literally just, after the longest day, or when you're hanging with friends... Just walk into the room and plop down face front and just be, you know, happy just because you're on a couch.
Imagine
a couch halfway, and that takes over half the room.
Just imagine if you had a flat screen TV up on your wall.
Be doing everything to that room. Imagine, I mean, I don't even want to explain it on here just because of the fact that it may take up way too much time. But,
but no, you just, the only space not covered is the space that the door has to open and that's it.
Exactly. Yes. That's exactly what I want to do is just get a big ass TV or even do the projector set up and project it onto the wall and do my surround sound system in there and just make it the fucking badass system that I could possibly make it.
Uh-huh.
That's my main idea with comfort and also space involved, especially the capabilities of playing Kinect when that's coming out in the next four days, I believe it is.
Yeah, it'll be out the day this podcast is released.
Yeah, basically, so.
Even though I'm hearing mixed things considering the fact that Microsoft is not letting people do early reviews of the Kinect.
Well, they just want to make their money first before they fix everything. But that's how it is. All right, well, speaking of which, let's go into some video games right now. Let's talk about the new Need for Speed Pursuit.
Hot Pursuit,
my bad.
Yeah.
This is pretty sweet demo. It kind of came out of left field on me a couple days ago, and I, well, actually, a couple days before it came out as a demo, I was like, oh, dude, I want to get my hands on this game because, you know, I used to play this game when I was younger. I used to love, you know, putting it on my laptop and just be able to play it or any of the computer things I could get it on.
I was a huge follower of the Need for Speed Underground series.
Especially, like, you were able to take and, you know, buy, like, the pack deal or something like that and just be able to play Need for Speed 1 through 3 and then a couple of the other extra games that they created on the side. It was just an awesome setup.
Yes.
Our friend Steve says that it was very sick, and also our other friend Bursag Sardukar, Tom, you bastard. Mm-hmm. He says that it was awesome. I mean, the new demo and everything like that, it's sweet. It gives you two different versions of the game. It gives you the police. I want to say police because they put cop on it.
Yes,
because I want to be more respectful in that sense. But we're bastards.
Officer,
police, pig. Officer, anything like that. Besides it. No. Pig. I got this one. Pride, integrity, guts. Fuck you on that one.
Thank you.
So, yeah, I mean, in that's that right. sense, they have that. The other one is actually doing the racing. But in the racing part, they don't really give you the actual taste of how it would be to be chased after the police. They give you just the actual full race course, which is it's got awesome, you know, graphics. But I'm going to give it to Anvil to talk about the actual police side of it because he was actually really enjoying it last night when he was playing it. What was your feeling about playing the actual, you know, police part?
Crash. All right, so you start off and you're chasing four vehicles. You have a limited amount of time to catch them and basically knock them off the road. In the demo alone, you're only allowed to employ spike strips and roadblocks. But in the real game, you actually be able to employ the EMP, which is actually an electric magnetic pulse, which will shut down the electronic bits in the engine.
It would be like kind of like how there's the movie with Vin Diesel there. Not Triple X. God damn you. The racing movie.
Fast and Furious.
But it's Fast and Furious 2, which had with Paul Walker in it and stuff like that. And they shot the onto the car and it EMP'd the car. Mm-hmm. Kind of like that. But now...
And you can also, you know, employ a helicopter to help you. You slam into them. You got nitro.
Yeah.
In the nitro, demo, they gave you two cars. One was the classic Crown Victoria, big, beefy vehicle.
Tank.
Basically. And the other one was a Nissan.
The Z06 or something like that. I can't remember.
Sexy, though.
Yeah, it was very sexy. I like the Nissans, you know, in that sense of, especially with dirt. Dirt 2, they have it for a great racing game for that setup. For your racing aspect, they gave you the Porsche, Boxster. Let me think.
The BMW.
Yeah, the BMW, which I'm not so great about. I don't like BMWs much. I could have done without that in the game, but it's German or something like that, so they have to throw it in there. and then the other one was also the civilian version of that of the Nissan that we were just talking about. So basically, it kind of gives you the aspect. I mean, they did a really good job with the setup of. Well, they only gave you two songs, but you know they have it so you can incorporate your music into the actual gameplay as well. What else did they do? This is actually just an awesome demo altogether. We had really fun going up against each other, trying to outscore each other by time and taking out all four vehicles.
Now, granted, the graphics weren't, say, up to par with the Codemasters.
Okay.
Especially with the crashing.
But I say it's a definite step up because of the fact that they have DICE in their background now helping them with this setup. If they didn't have DICE, I don't think the graphics would be half as good. But also, I have to say the controlling feels a little bit heavy. Once you get used to it, then you'll start going into the game and know how to actually handle the vehicle and everything like that. It did take me a little bit of, you know, a while, maybe 10, 15 minutes just to get down that so I could figure out how to drift and do all that other fun stuff. And then finally get onto the cars and take them down the correct way that they portrayed it. Believe me, you don't want to be in front of the vehicle and trying to stop on your brakes and trying to slam into them backwards because that's not going to help you in any way, shape, or form. It's going to mess you up even more because of the fact is the main place to take out the cars on this game is quarter panels and the back of the car. That's the only way really to take them out besides putting up roadblocks and doing the spike strips. But you have to hit them with two spike strips because more or less, I think they're trying to say that the cars have run flat tires on them and everything like that. So you have to deal with that. So you got to do two strike strips, in order to take them out that way. But definitely, I'm glad that they took their time and brought this game back into play, and it was time for them to have gone back and just revamped graphics and bring out a game that actually had some kind of great play in it back in the day. Because I've been kind of getting tired of these games that don't really have a story line to them, and they have these awesome graphics, and the game's wasted because you pay $60 for a 3-hour, you know, a 3-hour game or a four-hour, five-hour game, and it gets to the point where
it's pissing you off. Back in the old days of 16-bit, it was understandable because in those little cartridges, you couldn't really fit a 3-hour game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when we were at the Lovesack event, they had Battletoads. It was a three-level game, but I mean, it was still complicated, but it was three levels on one cartridge. So it's just one of those things that now we've got the massive space now, and then the graphics are the ones that's taking up all the things now besides the actual storyline.
Correct.
Which kind of gets on my nerves. But hopefully we're going to try to go back to the old roots of games, just like how the Need for Speed series used to be. Because I remember when I got to try out the demo for Need for Speed Shift, or as I called it before in the old one of our older podcasts, I called it Need for Speed Shit, because it just seemed like I couldn't do the drifting I really wanted to, and the graphics looked so blocky and shit. Like, I couldn't figure out what the fuck they did with this. It didn't seem right.
Perhaps the wrong production company.
Yeah, a real wrong production company, but... for the demo, I give 2 thumbs up and 5 stars all around.
I give 4.5 out of 5. I felt the controls were great, very on par with the Need for Speed Underground game, which was really easy to control as well, and just fun all around. The game itself comes out when November 16th.
So, I mean, the other thing that is you might want to put your money down if you really like the demo, because of the fact is that game has a limited edition version, and it comes with a good couple of cars like the Dodge SRT8 and a couple other ones that are just awesome. But I have to say that they have a limited edition for the same price that you'd pay for the regular edition. So,
yeah.
What did you feel?
I want to play game.
We'll probably, after we're done with this thing, we'll probably go back and he's going to be trying to beat my score again before we go and watch the Bruins game.
Yep, pretty much.
So we'll give him 5. 5? 5?
5.
5. Okay, 5. All right, next...
I would like to play.
Yes.
Well, there was a demo that I tried out called Dream Chronicles, and this...
PS3?
Xbox.
Xbox?
Xbox.
When the fuck that one?
It was one of those download game demos.
Oh, okay. Talk about Dream Chronicles.
Well, I had a bit of an issue with this game, and the fact is, it was a port of a PC game. Now, that usually isn't a bad thing, but the fact of the matter is, this is a point-and-click adventure ported onto the Xbox 360. So, instead of having a little mouse there, you have the little D-pad to have, you know, to control the fucking arrow.
Yeah.
And I have a huge issue with ports that do something like that. Because, for one thing, there's a game like the new Sam & Max games for PC. When they port them, or rather when they come out at the same time as with the Xbox 360 and the PS3 versions, they have it so it's not point and click. You just push left once and highlight something else. Here, you have to literally just fuck with the D-pad to figure out what the hell you have to click on, and it gets frustrating when that happens. I'm not sure if you've ever had to do something like that with any other 360 game.
I probably have. There's too many games that I've played probably lately, and I can't even remember.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, keep going.
Well, basically, there is a premise. There's a town that's been put under this, like, sleep by a witch or mage or whatever. And you wake up, there's something wrong, you gotta figure out what's going on. And it's basically, like you gotta solve puzzles, and you gotta figure out how to open doors, and getting to the next route.
Steve agrees with you on the control part there.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you. And there really isn't any graphics to talk about. They're just fucking pictures.
Yeah.
And that's another issue I have with point-and-click adventures that are pointed to Xbox 360. They don't take the time to spruce it up a bit.
Yeah.
They just go, oh, we're going to move this here, and we're going to put it right here, with no significant changes whatsoever.
Yeah.
So,
It's a one-time only thing with that kind of setup. They're like, oh, we drew that once. Ah, crap, we have to draw it again. Nah, fuck it. We're just going to copy it over again.
Exactly, exactly. And as for gameplay, there's really not much to discuss. Well, like I said, just fuck with the controller, figure out what you have to click, dig a hole, dig a hole, dig a hole, find the key, unlock the door.
All right, that doesn't deserve that much. So let's just
I'm giving it like a 1 out of 5.
Okay. And then let's go on to the next one.
Well, let me just say that the original versions of Dream Chronicles, the ones that are on PC, were really popular and were critically acclaimed.
Yeah.
So
they fucked up.
Yes.
All right. So on to the next one. And I believe I did. Yes, I did play this, I think.
Majin and the Forsaken Kingdom. And you take control of two players at the same time. One, like, a warrior.
You got the small little character who helps save the big-ass character. And the big-ass character goes in, you know, says, I've got to help you. He
me
talks like a moron.
We won't be your friend.
Yeah, exactly.
I kill you.
Yeah, so you control him and tell him to open up these big-ass giant doors and take on these other evil dark spirit demons, whatever the fuck they are.
Guards.
Yeah. So it gets to that point where you're playing out the game, and I don't know. I got to play like about 3/4 probably through before I got to the point where I was just like, all right, I can't play this game anymore. It hurts.
Really?
Yeah, I couldn't complete it really all the way through because I kept on getting killed at one certain part and it got annoying.
It was the boss battle.
I think it was the boss battle. I kept
getting killed at the boss battle.
Yeah, that was a clusterfuck that I ended up in, and I was just like, okay, I'm too tired for this. I gotta go pass out now. So yeah.
I do admit the graphics in this game are very detailed, especially with the Majin. Like, you can see like the moss that is on his body just blowing in the wind.
Now, can I just say one thing? Do you think it was pretty fucked up? Oh, I can't say one thing? Okay. I just feel that it was pretty fucked up that you could tell him to bend down so you could jump on his back and he springboard you up onto the cliff or something like that. I mean, it felt like you were actually treating this thing like shit instead of like your best friend. Unless you're feeding it.
Well, from what I've read, you're supposed to gain more and more trust with him. Like, when he starts out, yes, he'll be your friend, but he has boundaries. And as the game progresses, the more he starts to trust you.
Yeah. All right, well, what did you feel about the graphics?
Well, I just said the graphics.
Besides the graphics. Gameplay, my bad.
No, the gameplay? Well, I found, like, defeating the guards itself was pretty easy for the most part. But like you said, when it came to the boss battle, there was just too much shit going on. Like, I was trying to battle one guy, and then, like, two other people would come from behind me and start, you know, attacking
you. And then you try to put him into it, and then he gets stuck in the middle, and then they attack him, and then you try to take care of the guys on the outside, and nothing was going on. It just kept, it kind of kept repeating itself on that sense, and yeah. I couldn't beat it, but... now, what else do we got here? What's the final...
Well, I would say at least a rental. Like, 3.5 to 4 out of 5 for me. For this demo, I liked how you got a really good feel of what to expect from the game itself, but...
I don't think it's worth dropping $60.
Yeah, wait for the price to go down a little bit. Yeah. But the game should be coming out in a couple weeks, so we'll see how that's going to turn out.
All right, now on to the next hellish game. I mean, okay, I'll give it a 3.4. Yeah, there you go. 3.4. Okay. Next hellish game that was on our list.
Fist in the North Star, Ken's Rage. Now, I'm a huge fan A Fist of the North Star.
I've never heard of this fucking game in my life.
No, it's an anime.
Okay, that's why.
It's originally anime.
This is video games.
Not anime.
Well, I love the character of Kenshiro. He's the type of guy who, when he punches you in your stomach, he'll leave an imprint on your back.
Ah, okay. So...
And they've done, like, many different series. They've done different anime shows. They've done movies.
I've done that before.
And...
Sure,
yeah. Fist of the North Star is probably one of the most famous shows in Japan.
Okay. So with that said, what did you feel about this goddamn game?
It really wasn't worth the Fist of the North Star name.
So now let's just put this out there for our listeners and viewers and everything like that. What is this officially on? Because I played it on Xbox 360. Was it capable of being played on PS3?
I played it on PS3.
Okay, so yeah, we were able to do the counterpart and find out which game, you know, was better on each system. But I still think we both come to the conclusion that this game sucked.
Well, here's my issue. There were so many times when you were battling the other guy. You had Ken, you were battling the other guy. And whenever you would fight them, he would all of a sudden disappear. And then when you try to punch him, they would...
it was kind of really weird. I mean, in the other sense, he had the whole thing where you're in a cage, and he's like, oh yeah, guess why we fought in this cage area? And he jumped over to the other side of the cage, and then a cage would pop up around you and start... You'd have to break up the cage, otherwise you'd get firebombed and stuff like that. It was really kind of annoying in that sense to go against a sadomasochist, more or less, which this guy was.
I do like how, as the level progressed, you smashed through the floor, and then you entered a barroom area.
Yeah, that one was actually pretty cool, but it just took way too friggin' long to get to that part. I mean, especially there were certain parts where I was just like, I'd find out how to do the special moves, and he'd go into this, like, thousand punch, thing, and the guy wouldn't be standing in front of him, and I went, son of a bitch, I wasted it again! You know, it was kind of annoying in the control sense. I didn't feel comfortable with this. I thought I was going to be playing another Mortal Kombat game.
That's what I was hoping too, but with this and the North Star.
This turned to absolute crap.
It did, and I was very disappointed with this game. It was buggy as hell, and not worth my 2 cents.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this is this going to actually put out in stores? I can't even.
Yeah.
I didn't even want to put in that much effort to go and see that, but.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely say that, try out the demo. We are always here to say try out a demo before you make up your own mind, because we'll say what we've seen, and hopefully if you see it too, you'll be like, wow, it does really suck or is really fucked up in that way. So
yes, I give it a 1.5 out of 5.
I don't even think I could give it that. I could give it a 1. So anyways, on to the next one here.
One of the next games I got to play was called Costume Quest, and it's from the guys who did Brutal Legend, Double Fine.
Okay.
It's a Halloween-based RPG game. You're like 2 kids, and you have to save your little sister from being eaten by orcs or trolls or whatever it is they're called. They didn't really specify what they were called.
Let me guess, while collecting as much candy as possible.
Yes.
Yeah, see, I didn't even have to play the game, and I just fucking guessed that.
Mm-hmm.
Damn you and your RPGs.
Well, you see this? I haven't even played the game, and I already don't want to touch it.
it's one of those things that I think I was actually flipping through stuff on the actual Xbox Live, and I saw it, and I went, okay, that's just not one of my cup of tea games. Mm-hmm. Fuck that one.
And it is sort of your average run-of-the-mill RPG game, but graphics are cutesy. I did like the humor in the game, but I have a huge issue when it comes to holiday-based games, and that is the fact that when you buy this game, or if you buy this game, you feel like you can only play it during that holiday time. So with this being a Halloween game, when October 31st comes and passes, you won't be able to play it until, like, say, mid-September again, because you would feel awkward playing it.
Yeah, it's probably one of the downloadable games or something like that? Yeah, it's probably not even worth your fucking time. It just, it gets to the point where you're just like, why the hell did they even design this? I mean, Brutal Legend was a great game. It's just, I don't think they should have put any effort into the whole fact of doing these
With Costume Quest, if they had done it so it was outside the Halloween realm, like, make it, I don't know, more summer themed or
interchangeable
costumes. You can change costumes.
The Nightmare Before Christmas kind of set up where they have that Halloween only ville where it's 365 Halloween until it's actually Halloween. So
and in Christmasville, Easterville,
all that other BS stuff like that. But yeah, for this to be like a strictly only Halloween type setup, not worth it. I mean, probably the only other time you could probably play it is if you try to dress up for a New Year's Eve, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know. That's very rare in some occasions.
Yeah, but you know how drunk people can get.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so give your rating here.
I give it a 3 out of 5.
Okay.
I mean, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't great.
All right, on to the next one, which is Dragon Ball.
Raging Blast 2.
See, every time I've seen Dragon Ball, I've always just wanted to say Dragon Ball Z. It's just, I was able to stop myself on that one.
Good.
But it's like every time I'm just like, Dragon Ball Z. Oh, wait, never mind, it's not Dragon Ball Z. But now, game...
Yeah. Yeah. I wish that they would do they would go into the same route that they did with the Dragon Ball Revenge of King Piccolo Wii game. Make it more of an adventure. No more of these fighter games, because it gets tired.
The other thing I had to say about this game was, I haven't really gotten to play all the other ones. I did get to try out the demo beforehand on the other one that you got to, when the king was over my house and everything like that, he was able to try it out, and I was just like, yeah, I tried it out, and I was like, okay, woohoo, you could kick the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
But this one had more of a flying around setup, and it had such a big world, you got to the confusing. Point where it confused the shit out of you because you're trying to look around finding the guy, and then all of a sudden he's like kicking you in the back and then messing you up even more and knocking you straight.
Where is he? Where is he? Oh, there he! Oh, fuck!
Boom. Yeah, exactly. So it's one of those games that, you know, it depends if you're really that much into the Dragon Ball, you know, series. Yeah, fine. You're probably gonna love the hell out of this game. But if you're not so much into it, you're probably gonna get bored of it. First couple of fights that you try, and you're just going to be like, this is absolute crap.
And it was too much of a button masher. Not like the button masher sort of way that the new Space Invaders
more like was. Taking your controller, holding it in one hand, going like this to it, jamming your finger down really hard. It's one of those games
It was a painful button masher. It wasn't like one of those button mashers where you feel like you're earning something.
Okay, let's just put it this way. You try to catch a basketball and it jams your finger, it's that feeling. It's one of those, you know, oh,
thank
my,
you.
My finger's
That's a good part. Analogy right there.
Yeah, so... Mm-hmm. Catching a basketball, you never jammed your finger? You're one of the few many people that have ever played basketball that ever jammed their finger. I remember jamming my finger many times.
Oh, me too.
I jammed my finger socking a quarterback once. That really
hurt. There's always that. There you
yes.
go.
Yes.
I never went back.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so... All right, fuck it. The graphics were all right.
Yeah.
They were okay.
But I say stick to that new Naruto game that just came out, because that's more of a cool fighter with a real... anime style.
Yeah.
It makes it look like you're actually playing the TV show.
All right. So what do you feel about the score on that one?
2.5 out of 5.
I'll give it a 3 probably, just to give it some kind of, you know, equilibrium, I guess, because it you know, I have to give it to them. They did a, you know, kind of a fancy job with the game, but just the controls suck on it. That's probably my only problem with the game. All right. On with this other little downloadable fuck crazy game.
Weirdest one in the bunch. Super Meat Boy.
Now, I have to say, the funniest thing that I saw with this one was how it popped up and it said Newgrounds. And I went, oh, geez, now they're getting into the whole, like, indie game, you know, on Xbox 360.
And they're usually good with their
Did they do PS on this one?
No, that's
Xbox. It's only Xbox
I believe so.
So. But with this game, it was really effed up. It kind of, like, showed him in a black and white, oh, yeah, this is, you know, Meat Boy. He's really happy. He's got a girlfriend. This is... whatever the hell the other guy, the bad guy's name
is,
he's a douchebag. He's not so happy. He, you know, he steals Super Meat Boy's girlfriend and then goes away. And then, so you're going through these little jump, you know, button, what?
I got a question.
All right, what's the question?
You just said the guy steals Super Meat Boy's girlfriend?
Yeah, something like that.
Is Super Meat Boy's girlfriend Lady Gaga?
Most likely, yes.
Okay.
Well, that's what I have to say about that, because
I thought she was a bug.
I don't give a crap who it was.
Remember she dressed up wearing meat?
Yeah, it was weird. I don't know. But anyways, the whole setup is you have to do these like kind of like little puzzle things where you plop them up onto the wall. And then
you got to jump back and forth and back and forth.
It, basically, this is just another version of Explosion Man without the explosion.
Yeah.
It's just more or less you just plop yourself up onto the wall and try to hit the sides and everything like that.
And make sure you don't hit the buzz saws.
I think I got to level like... 8 or 9 or whatever the hell it was.
I had to skip a couple levels because I got so frustrated.
Yeah, there was frustrating parts where you'd have to drop through this and there was these spinning coils of death, more or less. And, you know, you had to jump through that, hit the other wall, jump through that. And it was just impossible when it got down to the end. I couldn't see any angles to grab onto to jump back over to catch the girl. So I got kind of frustrated after a while. Probably about 15 minutes of trying the same fucking level over and over again. So I finally gave up on the game, but...
Yeah, it's tough, but it's kind of funny. It's kind of a funny game.
Yeah, it's kind of a funny game for the mindless morons of our generation. So yeah, I'll give it to them on that one, but I'll only give it a 2.5 for this game. It's not worth the Xbox Live points at all.
Wait for it to like really go down in price?
No. Not even. Just play the demo, you'll see what we're talking about, and it will just be one of those things where you'll be like, wow... That, I'm glad I didn't spend my 800-point Xbox Live points on this.
Well, it was tough, but I enjoyed it, so I'll give it a 3.8 out of 5.
All right.
Well, you can just go to Newgrounds.com and play it for free.
No. I don't doubt it. I don't doubt they have a free version of the damn game on Newgrounds. You know,
there's only one way to find out about this, my friends.
All right, you figure that out. We'll go on to the next part here. So, with that said, we've got to go and chill out at Great Scott. in Allston.
Yep.
Not Boston, but Allston. It's like a little sliver of town, I guess, in Boston. But it's called Allston.
Right.
And Great Scott is an awesome little club that we were able to go to and having fun with my goddamn GPS Mio. Damn your company, you fucking suck!
Well, there is no Super Meat Boy, but there is regular Meat Boy that's right here.
Well, then there you go. You can play that version of it and just go friggin' crazy. You're not gonna play the goddamn game now, are you?
No, I'm just seeing what this is like.
Oh, man. Anyways, we got to see and talk to, slash interview, yep. The Blood Red Shoes.
Which actually is on our website right now.
Yeah, we have the actual setup on there. It kind of sucked because we had to talk to them separately. This was their laundry segment of the actual, their concert tour and everything like that. So
yeah.
They had to go and take care of that before they could have done the interview. So they had to do sound check and then, you know, take care of the laundry, and then they did the interview with us. So we got to talk with first.
Oh, yeah, look at this. It's the same fucking game.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, so we got to talk to...
Yeah, we got to talk Laura and...
No, Steven Ansel.
Oh,
Steven Ansel and Laura Mary.
Yeah, so Laura Mary was second, but what it was...
Laura Mary Carter.
Laura Mary. God damn it.
Well, if we're given his name properly, we should give her name properly.
All right, fine. We'll be
Mister,
fair.
Mister, I put my arm around her for the picture.
Yeah, I know. Hey, you didn't grab her ass, did you? You didn't grab her ass! Okay, good. Anyways, your silence is golden. So, with the whole fact that we were able to go to the concert and able to actually listen to their music beforehand, and we were trying to do this review for a while, but we weren't able to do music. I mean, hell, we were fighting to do Surge last week.
Yeah.
So, but with the whole thing, the concert was absolutely, it was great. There was probably, I want to say at least 30 to 40 people there at least, you know, able to, you know, scrunch together, watch the show, have a good time. Mm-hmm. And we were able to actually mess around with them too while they're on stage. We were
yes.
Because Boston's kind of a playful, you know, crowd and everything like that. So as soon as they were on stage and, you know, every time they were done with the song, they were like, yeah, we love you. You're awesome. Who was it who said, we love you, Laura?
Anvil did.
Yes.
And she started blushing.
Our own little tramp whore. Anyways.
I try.
Yeah. So, with that said, I mean, he was able to, you know, we were able to, like, mess around with him. And, of course, Steve was always wanting that damn fan the whole time. He's like, oh, God, why didn't I get the fan? Well, but also, it was, like, really kind of cold outside. So, probably as soon as he stepped outside, he was like, crap, it's cold. I gotta go back inside. But, yeah, I mean... It was good. They were able to play, gave us a whole hour's worth?
Yeah, an hour's worth.
Now, the beauty of this was, we only dealt with two bands that night. I mean, usually we're used to, like, 3 to 4 bands, which usually goes from, like, 8 till, like, 12 or 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And they could have, because Great Scott is able to go till 2 o'clock or something like that. They're out of the bounds or area of Boston, so they're able to do that, I guess. But, you know, the whole setup that they were able to do is, you know, come together as a... two-member band. You've got the drums / vocalist,
yeah.
And then you got a guitar / vocalist. You don't even have bass in here. And we actually asked them about the bassist, and it just got to the point where they said they worked together so good and like really fast that they didn't. They were just like, it's members only club basically, yeah. And it's two. All they needed to do was that, and I think that's what we find with a lot of bands nowadays. Like, you know, White Stripes. White Stripes. That was. There's no way you could throw bass into that. It's just their design of that music was specifically designed for them, specifically to put that out there. So with the Blood Red Shoes, this was just an awesome event to just go to, be able to actually talk with them. I like to be able to get, you know, personal with these bands and everything like that before they go up on the show, because then you could get wowed by how great they are even on the show. Because in person, they both have awesome personalities. I mean, it's kind of funny to have seen Laura on stage because she was, you know, rocking out and, you know, I think if we were able to have talked to her before the show, it would have been even more awe-inspiring because of the fact that she was up on the stage and she's screaming, she's singing, she's doing all this other stuff. And then when she went to go and talk to us and everything like that, she was like, you know, kind of shy, soft,
quiet.
She seemed like... How could this girl, you know, go crazy on stage? She was just really that cool. So we were, you know, really great to actually do the interview with them.
Yeah.
And Steve was able to, you know, tell it as it is, the way, you know, the way the UK-ish type, you know, set up that would. And he was, it was just a, you know, great guy.
Very down to earth, too.
Oh, man.
And he just tells it like it is.
Anytime you're back around in Boston, dude, come and, you know, chill with us anytime. We'll be happy to show you around.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
But what's cool about that, about the Boston area, is Laura Mary has family.
Yeah. So, you know, that's always good for them. So they can actually stay in Boston for a little bit, too, and then, you know, go around and everything. Now, the other thing that we were talking about them with was them taking a little break of their tour to go and work on
their third album.
The third album, which is amazing because they're just, it looks like they're going at the lightest speed now. Mm-hmm. So, what did they have to say about that again? I can't.
Well, the thing is that they canceled tour dates that hadn't been officially announced.
Yeah.
So, because they had just so much creative energy on this tour that they had been already coming up with new songs, and they wanted to actually record at least demos for them so they wouldn't lose what creative strokes that they had gathered up while they were on the road.
That's the only way to do it. And now, what was that other her special like guitar that was created? It was one of those guitars or something like that I guess you can't really travel around with it because it's just that crazy of a guitar.
Yeah.
But supposedly it sounds like Armageddon or something like that, or the end of the world.
Yeah.
I can only imagine what the end of the world would sound like when it actually happens.
Yeah, it's on their website. I can't believe I forgot what.
Oh, don't worry about it. No big deal. They love us. They know we love them.
It's called Sunshine.
It's Sunshine, isn't it?
Yes.
I thought it was that or the fall or something like that. I don't know. No, Springtime.
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 All right. Well,
that far off.
So with that said, I say 5 stars all together with their little concert that they were able to put up for us. And you have to really check out their music as soon as you, if you could, you know, get your hands on it.
I want
to
make a guarantee that from 5 years from now, they're going to really hit it big.
Yeah, I have a feeling that they're going to be selling out, you know, big-ass stadiums everywhere that they go and everything like that because, they just have that, you know, personality and how they can, you know, they brought up the crowd. They were able to actually work with the crowd and everything like that. They were doing hand claps, everything.
Well, I mean, thanks to a little bit with Edgar Wright and Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
No, he just said what was.
Yeah, well, there's always that one. But, I mean, but if you could get the crowd to go with you with, you know, clapping, singing along, anything, then you can mobilize a bigger crowd and everything like that. So all I have to say is good luck to the Blood Red Shoes and keep kicking ass and taking names.
Yep. Now, Blanc and I, this coming Tuesday, are going to be checking out another 2-person band, the Dresden Dolls, at the Wibbler Theater.
Ah, Dresden Dolls.
Yep. So that should be fun.
Yeah.
And they're going to be performing their whole first album in its entirety with, you know, a bunch of other songs from their second and third album.
All right. So on to
Sports.
All right, so this week in sports, so far it looks like my World Series predictions coming true. It's the San Francisco Giants took a 2-0 lead on the Texas Rangers, mm-hmm. but it's not without controversy.
Really?
Controversy?
Controversy.
A member of the Texas Rangers' wife had a steroid shipment. Now the Texas Rangers are actually searching every locker. So we'll see how that goes. You never know. They have proof that, you know, was going to his house and he was kept off the roster because of it.
Waka waka.
Now, yeah. I mean, there's a lot more going on, including the death of a student at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
He was filming football practice. Nobody has any clue who told him he could go up there and film it, but the wind knocked it over. The tower he was on, and he was killed.
Wow, that sucks.
I know.
I'm just the AV guy. Oh, fuck!
Yeah, but nobody knows why he was there.
Really?
He didn't get permission.
Oh, well, yeah, great.
Yep. So the Bruins are still on their really hot streak. Tim Thomas is still undefeated this season. He pitched another shutout against...
Pitched another shutout? You mean...
No, it's called pitching a shutout.
Really?
Shut up.
Oh.
2-0 against the Montreal... No, not Montreal. Toronto Maple Leafs, which brings his season score to 5 wins, 0 losses, and 3 goals allowed.
Yeah, I think we're just going to keep him in net right now because Tuukka hasn't been able to fucking keep up his, you know, side of the, you know, bargain.
And tonight we're playing the Ottawa Senators.
Fucking Senators.
Hey.
What time are we playing at? Oh, 7 o'clock tonight. Yes. Well, it won't matter anyways. You know, you'll probably, it'll be over and you'll be like, yeah, we won that game or something.
Yes.
Anyways, yeah, their next game is until Wednesday of next week at 7 o'clock, which is with Buffalo Sabres.
Mm-hmm. So, Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah. Hmm. And then Capitals will be Friday at 7. And ooh, along with the that, the Blues.
Now, I can't believe we're playing the Capitals again because Tim Thomas already beat them twice this season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, unless they want to stick Tuukka in the net again and try to go up against them or something like that. But I don't know, man. It's one of those things right now where we'll get off into a good start and everything like that. But middle of the season, I'm hoping that the injuries don't pop up again like they did last time with these ridiculous hits that we didn't need that one. Anyways, along with that, a lot of the, you know, whatever that was going on last year that didn't really help us towards, you know, getting us in. Well, we got into the playoffs, but after that, it was downhill.
It was shit.
Yeah.
It was absolute just crap. Mm-hmm. So, more or less, hopefully, with the player setups that we have, I mean, the new guys that we've got, what do you feel about them now?
Smartest pickup we've had was Nathan Horton.
Ah.
We picked him up in the off season. He stepped up his game. He's playing phenomenally. Scoring a lot of goals. He's going to help us. Segui, you know, we drafted him. He scored a goal, you know, the other night against the team that actually appears to them we've got him. So we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. It's a long season. Now let's move on. The Celtics are on the season. They're 2-1. They beat the Miami Heat to open the season.
Yeah, which,
but they lost to Cleveland.
Yeah, which kind of sucked. I watched that game, and I have to say that there was controversial shit that went on. There was some really fucked up things that went on in that game that I felt I just was, my mind went just one imploding on itself because of the shit that happened in this game. It just seemed like, how the hell could this be the actual pros if all this thing and all these, you know, fouls and all these other things were being played off? I especially thought the referees were paid off at one point because of the stuff that was going towards the Celtics.
Well, their pockets seemed to be a lot heavier.
Yeah, exactly. But at least last night, yeah, it was last night that they played, and they kicked the shit out of the Knicks, 105-101.
Yep.
That's a pretty close game, but I still say kicking the shit out of Knicks
because the Knicks. It was so bad that they were begging Patrick Ewing to come back.
Yeah, right. All right, so what else did you have to say about the Celtics? What is going on? What do you feel about the Shaq?
Shaq is Shaq.
Well, Shaq, I do have to say that some of his free-throwing is sucking.
Like still. I said, Shaq is Shaq. The man's never been able to shoot a free throw his entire career.
But it's funny because he's in that Comcast commercial and he's throwing free throws and
yeah, he's not even looking. You know, maybe he should just close his eyes every time he throws.
No, that's the thing. It's like that he throws it and then it cuts another shot and off camera goes through there. Yeah. It's probably like a little 3-year-old kid who's making the shot.
Well, remember when he did Scary Movie?
Yeah, Scary Movie. That was
with,
Dr.
Phil. Yeah, Dr. And he couldn't shoot the rock into the basket either. And actually, he said he was really trying.
But let's just put it this way. He got a foul, and he shot the first shot. He shot the second shot. And I guess the way he shoots it on the second shot, he offset the other guys on the other team, so he was able to take the third shot. And he got that one in. I was just like, fuck, Shaq. It takes you 3 shots to get it in.
Well, see, I think when Shaq gets, you know, the chance to shoot a free throw, they should move him to the half-court line. He might start making more.
Yeah, yes. if he's lucky. But I think he's great for, you know, the under-the-rim game and everything like that and to switch up.
Keep him in the paint.
Yeah. And the slam dunks.
Yeah, well, that's in the paint. Well, that or, you know, layup or whatever the hell he's able to do under the rim, you know, for that, for his games and everything like that. But more or less what I'm trying to say is he's good. He's great. He's doing pretty good with the switch-ups. But the other O'Neal on our team there, he got actually to the point where he fouled too much and he had to sit down and he wasn't in for the rest of the game, which kind of sucks. So that brought Shaq back up on the thing. But now I think they keep switching Big Baby Davis between him too, so they don't, you know, they have two big guys on the court, you know, to switch off and everything like that, which is a good thing. What are you doing with my computer? Stop molesting my computer!
I'm just seeing if we have any more comments, man.
I'm going to kill you. All right, anyways.
Yeah, so last week the Patriots wound up going and beating the San Diego Chargers in San Diego, 23-20. Game was good. Now this week's going to be a huge game against the Minnesota Vikings, who their record isn't that good, but it's Brett Favre, who's going to be playing injured.
No, actually, I thought I heard something about him not playing
He wasn't going to be playing.
No, they just it's on ESPN right now.
Oh,
you got to be kidding me, man. Like, just because of that, I'm sorry, but just because of the fact that he has this whole thing where he's played almost every fucking game that he's been in
since 90, he hasn't missed a game since 92. And actually, if he were not to play this week, the nearest person to him is Peyton Manning, and he wouldn't break the record until the end of the 2016 season.
Mm-hmm. So, still, with that whole setup going on, I think it just doesn't matter the fact that, you know, okay, great. This is probably one of those things that you'd want back when you're in school or something like that. Oh, I haven't missed a class. You know, I was even deathly ill and I showed up. Yeah, that's fine. Great. But for sports, fuck, man. If you've been, you know, getting the shit kicked out of you, been, you know, tossed around like a rag freaking doll by Coke machine guys from the line.
Wait. I got a question.
What?
Why the fuck are we complaining? We're Pats fans.
But no,
if their quarterback can't throw,
no, I'm complaining. No, I'm complaining to the fact that he should take a fucking break so we don't have to deal with him.
Yeah, but if he's hurt, all you got to do is have Vince Wilfork step on his foot.
Exactly. There you go. So, anyways, I mean,
so what you're trying to say is
you want to injure him? No.
You want him to play until after they've gone against the Patriots, and then. You could just say,
well, Tavarius Jackson sucks too, so it's okay.
Yeah, that's what
but
I'm
Tavarius
saying.
But Tavarius Jackson can run.
Either fucking way.
Yeah, but would you rather have a quarterback that can run or couldn't?
Either way, I don't give a shit. It don't matter. Both of them suck. But, I mean, with that whole setup, we have to talk about last week's game. I mean, look at it this way. Before we went to go to see the Blood Red Shoes, right?
Yes.
We were watching the game, and it was 23-3. And then it turned to 23-6. That was how it was when we left it around the third quarter, because then we had to go into Boston to get to Alston. So, what the fuck happened? To have had them jump
they
up that?
They scored.
I know the Chargers fucking scored, but how the hell did the defense crash?
They've been crashing this whole season.
It seems like the Patriots, this is their design. This is the first quarter, they're going up, and then they get to halftime. Third quarter, fuck, they're down again.
You know what it is? They played very well. It's that short game. Right in between where most teams can run on that.
Yeah.
I mean, any team could win a game just by going straight over the middle, but you do it long enough and the defense is going to, you know, step in and pick off the ball and the quarterback won't go there for a while.
But I think the thing that a lot of the other teams notice against the Patriots is if you have the capability of longevity in a football game where you don't put as much effort forward in the first starting of the game, let the Patriots get up into a comfort zone, the Patriots are going to ease up at the end. And then you're just going to be able to try to, you know, get on that and start scoring points, whether it be field goal or touchdowns or whatever, and fucking up the defense because the defense can't hold back because they're already in the, oh, we already broke out the Cuban cigars. Fuck, I thought we were winning. So I'd rather not see it happen that way, especially with going up against Randy Moss. I want to nail him into the fucking ground.
I want to see him take a hard hit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
What's his name that been, you know, dealing all those hard hits?
Merriweather.
Go ahead, Merriweather. Fucking nail into him. Just be like, you know, this one time in the long run, bink! Congratulations.
Hey, Randy, long time no...
Yeah.
Now,
they're going to be, you know, fucking high-fiving and shaking hands before the game, and then after the game, they're going to be carrying out Randy Moss on a fucking stretcher.
But this is the thing. With the whole thing in the NFL, giving players penalties for hard hits...
No. Yeah, it's only specific on the hits.
Are for hard, high hits near the head. There's a difference in giving a hard hit and going near the head.
Yeah, I mean...
And that's what they're going for. Is they're penalizing more for head hits.
The concept of headshot, you know, going for the headshots, that's not a good idea. Especially, like, because you could easily break somebody's neck. Easily. So, like we said last time, you go for collarbone and under to like, you know, the tops of the, you know, the thigh pads and stuff like that. That's your only method of taking the person down unless if you're already falling on the ground and if you can try to grab them up from the ankles. That's the only way I can suggest. That's the only way. Really is you guys got to, you know, remember everything that you were taught from whenever you started playing football to now. Wrap the motherfuckers up. Well, wrap them up.
Look at Tony Romo last week. He took a hard hit and now his collarbone's broken.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's one of those things that...
Dallas Cowboys suck.
Oh.
Sorry.
Well, it's not the 90s anymore.
Yeah, it is not the 90s anymore. But I did like the Cowboys back in the day.
A couple decades ago?
Yeah. But with that whole thing going on now with how their team has definitely gone downhill, it's... I don't know. I can't even fathom how the fuck a lot of the people in Texas, like, go around, like, they're like, oh, well, at least we got the Texans. Oh, wait.
Actually, you can't make fun of the Texans right now because...
They're actually doing pretty good.
They already beat Indy this season. They're playing them again this week.
All right.
And they actually kind of, yeah, they ran all over them. They run a back rush for 231 yards on them.
Well,
I'll take that.
Remember when we used to laugh at the Anaheim Ducks?
Who?
Exactly.
Oh yeah, the Los Angeles Ducks of Anaheim. Because
no, that's the baseball team. That's the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Now, what are the Anaheim Ducks now called?
The Anaheim Ducks.
What the fuck are you doing?
I was making fun of them.
But anyways.
I just really confused you guys off a joke.
Yes. You screwed the pooch.
You're both blonde.
Thank you.
Okay, well, you're really blonde.
I'm brown-haired.
No, you're blonde at this moment. Don't make me get the hair bleach.
But yeah, the Patriots play this weekend at 4:15. Wait, is it at? It's not at. Is it at our place or is it at their place?
I believe it's at home.
I hope it's at home.
Gillette Stadium, yes.
Yes. Fuck. That's the best thing is being able to just enjoy it more at the home. And I know it's probably gonna be cold as hell tomorrow too. So that gives us a little help. But with Minnesota, not so much. But I mean, it's just going to be a great game altogether, and especially, hopefully, we'll be able to get into watching NFL Red Zone, because that is basically the ADD of NFL, if you ever watched it. It's just such a sweet channel to watch.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, if you get to the point where you're sick of fucking commercials and everything like that, this is the setup that you have to watch. I mean, it's just great. They'll pop into, like, four or five games at one fucking time, and then you'll be like, holy shit, weren't we just watching the Raiders? Oh, crap, now it's back to the Dolphins. What the fuck is going on here? And then they show the scores, and, oh, now I know what the fuck's going on. And then it gets to the confusing part. So it's really a great channel just to confuse the fuck out of you.
Yeah.
But especially get rid of the channels, and then you don't even have to deal with their halftime shows with the other things, because there's always a game that's basically going on and goes over the other person's halftime show.
So, basically,
yeah.
Yes.
It's a fucking great show.
And then when all the teams are at halftime, they show you the highlights of all the games.
Yeah, it gives you that backup instead of, you know, oh, fuck, I got to watch ESPN tomorrow just to find out what the hell happened in that funny sense. This one gives it right there, right then, and everything.
Especially if you're a huge sports fan, you could just sit there and football.
Yeah,
football,
exactly.
Football, beer, football. Not just football. Another beer.
So, with the whole setup that they have, you know, it goes on to the point where you don't have to really worry about it. You just set it and forget it, and you sit back and watch the fucking game.
Set it and forget it, huh? Sounds like an infomercial.
It is an infomercial, because it's just that fucking good.
No, it sounds like the infomercial for the Ron Popeil rotisserie.
Yeah, it is. Alright, well, anyways.
Insomnia.
Now, you guys watched the UFC pay-per-view event last week.
Yes, we did.
Well, dealing with all the drunk people. I tried to.
There were no drunk people.
Yes,
there were. Drunk Shades.
Oh, well, that's different.
Shades was fucking plastered. Sorry, buddy. Well, he had to sleep on my couch. Sorry, buddy. But, you know, dealing with the fights and everything like that, I didn't even know if I want to mention Brock Lesnar right now.
I don't know either.
Just because of that one.
Just say Brock Lesnar then got stared down by The Undertaker.
Let's just put it at that. I mean, Brock Lesnar, we had so much high hope, more or less, for him going into this fight. Now he's only 5-2 now.
And Cain Velasquez is 9-0 and currently the UFC heavyweight champion.
Yeah, so, yes, the first time in UFC, you know, history, they have a Mexican champion and everything like that.
But
so,
see, I don't like him for that tattoo on his chest that says Brown Pride.
Yeah, Brown Pride is a little bit too much. I mean, if Brock Lesnar had white power on his chest, they would have been like, dude, he's a Nazi. But with him, I wish I could have. I wish it went the other way, because I wanted to make a sign that says, "Hey Velasquez, are you a Mexican?" and then pop the T out and say, "Are you a Mexican?" Just because I love that line. But more or less with this, you know, this fight that went on, I just, it was kind of like we were kind of shocked at the same time, but also we were kind of just like, well, you know, Brock Lesnar's going to, you know, we feel bad for the next guy that's going to verse Brock Lesnar just because of the fact that he's gonna work himself out even crazier, and he's just going to beat the shit out of that
person.
He's
going to have to work from the bottom up again, so he's going to be taking on low competition for a while.
Yeah. So that's going to build him up in that sense, and as long as he doesn't have that one guy that comes out of left field and fucks him up again.
Tank Abbott. Yeah. Retirement.
No fucking way. Tank Abbott couldn't do that. If he got taken out by fucking, what's his name there, that we just watched in that movie recently.
Kimbo?
If he got taken out by Kimbo, fuck that.
Tank Abbott?
Yeah, Tank Abbott got taken out by Kimbo.
That wasn't even a real fight.
Dude, how can it not be a real fight? It was in Strikeforce.
Because Tank Abbott didn't even train for it.
Well, then what the fuck then? Why did he even bother stepping in the ring?
Because it was one of those, he had a contract that had to be finished.
So he goes and says, oh yes, I'm going to beat the shit out of Kimbo Slice, just only to walk in there and get fucking tanked himself.
Basically.
Yeah, so more or less, yeah, with that setup, it felt that, you know, I think Brock Lesnar, don't worry about it, man. You'll get back up on your feet, and you'll start kicking ass and taking names. Don't think this is over yet. You're just going to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing
is over. Can we have your wife?
Besides that, anyways, the whole Tito Ortiz thing, that was a laugh riot just because of the fact Tito Ortiz lost again. And just because of the fact that he was making fun of deaf people and his own person that he trained, he was a student of his, kicked his ass.
And he's deaf.
And he's deaf. You're not feeling fucking smart now, Tito! Aren't you?
Tito has not won since 2006.
Exactly, so fuck him.
He's a little bitch.
He should retire.
Great hype. You know, go, you know, back to your wife.
And how long was the fight?
Oh, dude. No, actually, I think it went almost all the way.
Yeah.
It almost went all the way, and it went to decision, I believe, and it went towards Hamill on that one.
Yeah.
And, I mean, a lot of the other fights, I mean, they were pretty damn good.
We got some really good fights.
We really got our money's worth this weekend. It was beautiful. But, yeah, I mean, just the whole thing with the Tito Ortiz just was, oh, wait, what about our buddy there from Strikeforce that came over?
Oh, you mean Jake Shields taking on Martin Campman?
Fuck yeah, Jake Shields did a great job.
Yeah, you know, he was riding a 13-fight win streak, upped it to 14.
Yeah, he did. He upped it to 14. I think he fucking was beating the shit out of that guy. I mean, he beat the hell out of him, and just, it was beautiful. It was just a modern art masterpiece right in front of your eyes, basically, just watching him fight. Especially because he kept on getting into these headlocks that were like, oh, dude, he's done. Nope, he's still in. Nope, he's in. Nope, he looks like he's done. Nope, he's back out again. How the fuck did he survive that? It was just really impressive how he was able to move and beat the shit out of somebody that's been in the UFC for a while.
Yeah, well, he's a former Strikeforce champion, but he gave up his title to come over to UFC.
So, now, what was it? Did we hear that he was actually supposed to be lined up for the next fight between... There's supposed to be another fight that's supposed to be going on in like December or something like that, and whoever wins out of that, he's supposed to take on that person for like a championship or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I heard that. There's no guarantee yet, so I want to get more
answer,
before.
Yeah, we'll try to keep you posted on that one because it sounds like it's going to be interesting, and I'd like to see Jake Shields keep on kicking ass and taking names.
Yes,
because he's just that good.
Yes. So let's move on to our movie, since we've got a little bit of time left.
Yep, we saw
Saw
3D.
Number
the chance
7.
Come to meh.
Yeah, basically it's the title of our episode. It says the traps come to thud. More or less, we did try to stop ourselves from falling asleep in this. We did try to pay attention as much as we possibly could in this.
Do we
movie.
Even need to bother what the movie's about?
It's about Saw.
Yeah, it's about basically the ending of it. Our friend Tom says, yeah, even the twist at the end was lame. Yes, it couldn't even amount to a purple nurple, more or less, in that
twist. We saw that coming a mile away.
Yeah, as soon as...
No, listen.
I can't even... You know what? I don't even really want to ruin it for people, because
truth
if
be
you're
told,
fucking stupid enough to spend $10 for this movie just to see it in 3D, it wasn't worth it.
Well,
I mean,
you know, we spent $10 to see it before noon. How much do you think it's going to cost for the people who see it like at 6 p.m.
16 bucks.
Bingo!
What it is? All right. Stevie Wonder saw everything this movie coming.
Yeah.
That's the only thing he's ever seen.
Yeah, and I have except to agree for the punch buggy. Yeah, besides the punch buggy, he got people on that one. But besides that, it just seemed that the movie with, well, seeing that the twist from Twisted Pictures, they're not doing their fucking job, I guess.
Yeah.
Just well, because of the fact that this series has been going on for the last
seven, eight years,
I want to say now, because of the fact that they push the movie and they try to put it on at least the weekend at Halloween or the weekend before Halloween or something like that. And great job on the timing. Fucking good timing and everything like that. But
bad
just
job
bad
on the script writing and the storyline.
Exactly. It seems that they need to put it all together in another sense. Like let's just put it this way. Like the Harry Potter movies. The recent Harry Potter movies, they have an A and a B part of one of the books because it's so fucking massive. Now what they should have done with the Saw series, I know that they were kind of probably like testing the waters, but what they should have done was they should have done the first three movies, right?
Yes.
Give it at least a year or two break to put together another three set or part of the movies just to make it that fucking good. Just because of the fact that they pasted it all together in these 7 years, it went from, hey, this is a pretty fucking good idea. Okay, that was pretty fucking gory, but what the fuck's going on? Third one, okay, dead. What the fuck is going on? Fourth one,
again,
my fucking brain hurts. What did you do?
What happened?
What the fuck did you do?
What happened?
And then fifth one, I fucking looked the other way almost half the time just because of that. The sixth one, I tried
to fall asleep. We saw that. We were talking about this last year. I fell asleep during this movie.
See, that was the beauty of
no,
it.
No, my brother fell asleep. Remember that?
Oh, over here, yes, he did.
Over here is...
We watched it in the set that when they... I watched it again last night, actually, just before everything, just to go to sleep. Oh, no.
Don't jinx us.
You know what? That's the fucking thing. They said, yes, the seventh and final movie. Yes, there probably will be a sequel or a prequel or whatever the fuck they want to do with this series because of the fact of how they ended this one. They could totally turn on to an eighth one because I heard probably when it was the fifth or the fourth one when they said that they wanted to do eight whole fucking movies with this series. Now, I just don't think because of the fact that there is probably only a handful of us in the audience that were sitting there watching it. And when we left, we were kind of like, what the fuck did we just watch again?
Yep, it's on here right now. It says, sorry, this plan
said to have amazing story. Bullshit. Bullshit.
I mean, okay, let's just put it this way. You're going to see Dr. Gordon again. That's it. That's all I'm giving you. That's all I'm fucking giving you. Just because of the fact that I had full-on arguments with friends of mine back in the day when the second and the third movie came out and they were showing the dead bodies that were in that fucking room. And I said, okay, I see the other guy that had the camera. He's dead. I see the other guy that, you know, that was left in there. He's fucking dead. Okay, where the fuck is Dr. Gordon's body? Because he crawled the fuck out of there. Where the fuck is his body? Let's just leave it at that. And if you go to see this movie or wait for it on DVD, which I really suggest you do that because it'd probably be so much better renting it so your aneurysm doesn't fucking pop and kill you. Mm-hmm. That would be a good suggestion.
Okay, now here is my thing with the Saw franchise. First three Saw movies were awesome.
Brilliant.
Great horror franchise. I felt they should have stopped at three.
Yeah, they could have. They probably could have just put a nail in the coffin then, but then they were like, no, there's more people working in the background. It's like, what the fuck? Seriously.
And then Saw 4 came out, and it was like, okay, Saw 1, Saw 2, Saw 3, Saw 4, boom, boom. The only thing good about Saw 4 was the fact that they brought X-Japan back after 10 years to write the theme song.
Yeah.
That was the only thing good about Saw 4. And then I didn't even bother to see Saw 5. Now, I never watched it because I knew for a fact it was going to be total shit.
Now Tom is right here on this whole setup that, yeah, it's strange it kept going long after Jigsaw was dead. Yeah.
Yes.
See, now that's the thing is when a main character is dead, but somehow he's still able to keep on enriching his fucking role in the next four movies after the fuck he died. It's kind of like, how the hell did he just keep that guy going?
We all know that Tobin Bell is not complaining because he's collecting his money.
Dude, yeah, Tobin Bell is not complaining. I actually like Tobin Bell. Tobin Bell is a good fucking actor. It's just he got stuck on this shitty fucking script.
Well, truth be told, I don't think they could have picked anybody better to play Jigsaw.
No, they couldn't have.
He is creepy as shit anyway.
He's just a great actor altogether. I have to give it to him. But just the fact that they were trying to revamp this movie with bringing in Sean Patrick Flannery. And
you know what? With Sean Patrick Flannery, I didn't know that he didn't have the thick Irish accent, because I've only really seen him in the Boondock Saints. When I heard him speak in this movie...
See, now Anvil and I, we've been watching Netflix and stuff like that, so what we do is we look for actors we like, and we try to find other movies that they were in that are live streaming so we can watch it right there and then. And we watched a lot of his other movies. They were pretty fucking good. He played a cop that had to kill his own wife just because of the fact that if he didn't kill her, everybody else in the house would have died just because of the explosion.
Yeah.
So it was either kill his wife and everybody lives, or don't kill his wife and everybody dies. But he had no English, I mean, Spanish, fuck me.
Irish
accent, I'm sorry.
And I'm just used to that. And when I first heard him speak, I was like, this doesn't sound like Sean Patrick.
But he has a fucking, when you listen to him in Boondock Saints 2 especially, his Irish accent is kind of a fucking joke. It's more or less, it's not like it's actual, like, hit, like the how the actual Irish, you know, speak, but he just puts his own, like, tongue on it. So he's able to fucking, you know, convert it into his own and make it fucking hilarious. Like, when he goes, praise the Lord, you know, blah, 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 and it's like, we saved him. That was, it kind of sounds like a miniature fucking leprechaun.
It's nothing even close to how they talk.
It sounds like Leprechaun from the Hood.
But this is the thing. When I first heard him speak in this movie, I saw 3D. Yes, he turned out to be a weak character. But he just sounded weaker than he should be.
Well, they tried to make his character a bullshit character, because what he did was saying that he was a survivor of one of the Jigsaw's thing, because he watched a news thing that one of the supposed survivors that we never saw happen.
Yeah.
And we don't even know her real backstory, but she just said that he basically stole her line right off the TV because of the fact that she says, I lived through this thing, and I have to say that I took, my life for granted, and blah blah blah. And after this whole incident, I was a much better person. And it didn't look like she even got maimed or anything.
No.
But when they were having the whole self help group to come together, that's where Dr. Gordon came in.
You figured it all
out. Good job on the DVDs on the extra things. Okay, bye. And then you're like, okay, so is that all we're going to deal with?
You know what?
There's something fucking going on with this.
You know what? I bet you he was actually talking about the DVD extras for the Saw.
Probably the Saw thing, because of how
it was. It was like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm done with this movie.
But it was just funny because of the fact that I remember hearing so much shit about, you know, back from the first one. Oh, where's Dr. You know, I've been going like, where's Dr. Gordon? Where's fucking Dr. Gordon? Where's Dr. Gordon again? And it's just been, you know, kind of absolute lunacy, because every time I've asked it doesn't come out until finally now. But I was also hearing at the point of the second, the third one, the fourth one, is that he wasn't getting, it was contractual, agreement stuff. He was trying to get the more money and all this other bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know, I mean, it was good to see him back into the role, but...
Yes,
just,
but...
Yeah, a little bit too late, just a tad bit fucking too late.
Yeah.
If he did this on the fourth one, this would have been fine. This would have been fine. I would have been really happy with this movie on the fourth one.
If he had set up in the fourth one,
it would have had to go in this far.
Made it a quadrilogy.
Yeah. Just, okay. There you go.
So what do you guys rate this?
I give it a 0.5 out of 5. Wow. I mean, yes, I will give it for a little bit of the gore factor, but everything else about this movie was shit. The 3D was repulsive.
Yeah, the 3D wasn't really even 3D.
It was four parts. That was it.
Fucking big. You know what? Their whole advertisement, I have to say, I would like to fucking bring them to court just because of it.
Sue them.
I want to sue them for false advertisement.
Don't sue them.
For false advertisement, it's more or less that the bullshit of giving the people the thing that, oh shit, the thing's going to actually come around me. Oh fuck. No. The only coolest part was what you said.
The hacksaw.
Him tossing it away and stuff like that. All you see is it flying into your, like, you know, it looked like it was coming at you. The explosion was second.
That was really it. Oh, the key.
The key. The key was you actually thought you could catch
that
key.
And where the hell were the saws that you saw in the trailer that go boom, boom? No,
that was at the first part.
Yeah,
that was.
Oh, you mean the ones that come out at you?
Yes.
Fuck no, they didn't even do that.
They didn't do any of that.
I mean, the whole concept of and saying that, oh yeah, they're gonna, you know, give you like a scare factor at the end, and you know them, you know, grabbing one of the audience members and pulling them into the screen. That was bullshit too.
Yeah,
false. I didn't see anybody get taken.
And didn't give you that sort of feel.
No. I wish they would have taken that motherfucker that was working with the rapping. He was just like,
all right, so like, you give it.
Motherfucker.
This is probably going to be one of the second worst movie of 2010, just below The Last Airbender.
Yeah. All right, well, more or less with my feelings, I did like the series and everything like that. I'll probably just buy the whole fucking DVD collection just to say I have it. But more or less, I'll give this movie a 2. Yeah. Out of 5, 2. I'll give it just that.
Same way. And,
I mean, it did. It was just like ultimate suckage, but I'll just give it a 2 just because
of that. It was a shit sandwich. The movie was a shit sandwich.
And we all
sandwich.
Had to take a big bite out of it just because of it.
I give it a 2 as well.
Disgusting.
And I have no clue where that opening scene came from. With the two dudes and the girl?
Yeah, this one had it set up. Okay, let's put it this way. From this point of view of the camera, sorry for the podcast people, but let's just put it this way. There's three people in the setup.
Yes.
Let's say King over here, he's on one side of the table, I'm on the other side. He's got a saw that's pointing point blank at this thing. Anvil is hanging up from the fucking ceiling, and there's a middle saw pointed up at him. So more or less the concept was this was a love triangle. So the love triangle, let's put it this way. Let's just pretend Anvil is a really, really hot chick.
With really nice titties.
Great breasts.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So she was playing both of these guys, you know, saying, no. Oh, I love you more. Oh, I love you more. Blah, blah, blah. Do this. And these guys are pushing the saws back and forth. But they only have a minute between to choose who the fuck they're going to kill.
And you know what? I want to say bullshit on the timing because a minute would go by and
a lot faster. And the fact that they were talking to the people in the crowd, because this is in a glass, you know, case, and people were looking at this and they're trying to break open the thing. And there's a stupid fucking Asian woman with a goddamn, you know, metal case that could have broken it if she just used the fucking edge of the case. She was banging with the side of the case. It's just like, lady, the laws of physics says if there's a point at the end of something and you can break it through, you know, a lot fucking easier than you do on a fucking bigger surface. Well, it's like, fuck you.
The cops could have shot it when they got there.
Exactly. Yes. Instead of holding everybody back, they could have shot at it and stopped the whole fucking thing. Now, the other thing I do have to get back on the timers, you had made a very good point.
I would have shot the girl anyway.
A lot of
cheating whore.
A lot of, yeah, I would have fucking shot her too, just because of the fact that I've dealt with
that. They were saying you have 60 seconds, and the whole 3 minutes would go by before the 60 seconds would end.
I'm sorry, but I thought it was kind of cool the way she died. You see it slowly working through her gut.
Yeah, come exactly.
Yeah.
But then sausage fell out. You could actually clearly tell
it was a sausage.
And actually, I ain't gonna lie, I wanted a sausage after.
One of our viewers here, he made a very good point. How not one person, you know, didn't shoot a gun. I mean, yeah, the police officers could have shot. I mean, there's probably somebody, because it's America, there's somebody in the NRA going, oh, I can take care of this, bang, fuck, I'm taking out the window. But the only other thing is I could have think that it could have been bulletproof / plexiglass if, you know, he had the money to put forward towards that.
Mm-hmm. Then it would have been funny. It ricochets and hits somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Oh, you just killed somebody else. But the other thing we have to do is just to get back to the timer situations here. A lot of the fucking timer situations seemed like it just, they needed a little bit more than 1 minute to fucking take care of something.
Yeah.
Because they gave Sean Patrick Flannery 60 minutes.
60 seconds.
No, 60 minutes. 60 whole minutes, like an hour, to go through his, you know, the pathway that he had to go through. And it seemed like it took more than a minute to have gone through the whole thing. Like, the first woman, you had to get a string that had a fish hook with the key at the end of it up through her esophagus just to get the fucking key to stop the thing. And plus, the screws would wind every time she made a noise above a whisper.
Yeah. Right.
So how the fuck are you supposed to have accomplished that in the first place besides holding your hand over her mouth and just jamming it up out of her fucking thing without her screaming out after the fact? There's no fucking way. That was just one of the most impossible ones.
And
that
Jigsaw
went after that guy for the first thing because he kept on making things that were too impossible to fucking survive.
And that's the thing. The every task took, you have 60 seconds, you have 60 seconds, you have 60 seconds. It would be impossible. And then not to mention the whole timing aspect, and it's the whole Dragon Ball Z mentality. The longest 5 minutes in history. 5 minutes took over, like, nine episodes.
Truth be told, the only one that he could have physically done was the noose one.
Yeah, there was the noose one, but also the other one is that, all right, now, he had to get underneath the shoulder part to push up, you know, with his shoulders, right, to get the things up. You and I have been doing that workout and everything like that. We could have easily stepped back and pushed our arms up on the fucking thing, and we wouldn't have been stabbed in the fucking side by the special hook things. Would have been smarter about that one. But of course, he goes underneath it and gets stabbed in the side. Well, no, remember,
he tried doing it, but he's not a person that works out.
Yeah, well, from his abs, I would fucking, you know, beg to differ. But
yeah, but I mean, in the movie,
in that sense, yeah, it'd be a pussy. But yes, the noose one seemed a little bit more realistic, but it still seemed that he had 10 seconds and he was tossing the. Oh yeah, 3 more seconds. 1, 2, 3. I'm gonna toss it to the key. Oh fuck, you dropped it. Okay. Well, he's fucking dead. But now the other thing with the lawyer one, where the fucking things are going, you know, that one, that was bullshit. I mean, him trying to lift that up, just trying to, you know, her getting stabbed in the face. Then the other one, which was the neck one.
They perforated the neck.
Then 4 needles from 4 separate positions going into the neck like that, kind of more or less.
And then being pulled up by pectorals.
Yeah,
and
the pectoral one, you know what? Tom makes a good point about this one. Why didn't he just step on the hooks with his boot and pull himself up that way?
Or attach it to his belt.
it's like, what the fuck? What were you thinking?
I know.
Yeah, I would have done it. I would have been that dumb.
No. Belt.
Oh, yeah.
We would have done that.
Yeah, but
dude, you'd shove it through your
shoulders. Yeah, it would have been like, woohoo, man, boom it. Oh, God, that hurt.
Actually, I would
have pierced my nose. Oh, God. Because that's what he said was he wrote a whole fucking book about the fact that he supposedly, you know, went through everything, but he really didn't. He had the fake scars on his chest. About the whole thing and more or less, we're going to have to end this fucking show because it was just that movie. I mean, we could have just went with this movie and just said, oh yeah, I saw a movie. Oh, this sucks. Anyways, goodbye. You know, that could have been it. But we had to go into some kind of detail and give you some kind of
clue. It sucked.
And now you're throwing up. But,
we feel bad for
you. Let's take a fork in this.
Yeah, let's definitely get this over with.
Yes, remember, check out our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcasts, episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew. And if you have any comments, requests, or anything else you want us to talk about, our email address is thebastards@BostonBastardBrigade.com.
We're also on MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade. We have our group up on Facebook as well, so you just type in Boston Bastard Brigade and hopefully you'll find our group. Along with that, what else have we got?
Well, don't forget our sisters at the Electric Sisterhood at esh.mobi, and check out Geek Aggro while you're at it. Also, really soon we're going to have all the information up for our charity events to raise the money for the North Shore Cancer Center with the North Shore Cancer Walk. We're going to be working with a few good local talents, and we're going to have a good time, and even Lovesack might help us out.
Yeah, even while you're at that too, why don't we just say that? Go to lovesack.com, check out the awesome couches that they have, and they open up a new store in Burlington. Go and check it out.
Go to the Burlington Mall, have a good time, and tell Chris that the B3 guy sent you.
Yeah, exactly. Tell him that we sent you, and hopefully he'll wink, wink, nudge, nudge, help you out.
Right. I do want to promote something else. On Thursday, November 4th, from 7 to 11:30 p.m., there's going to be a comedy show to benefit what is called the Trevor Project. And what the Trevor Project is, it's a national 24-hour, toll-free, confidential suicide hotline for gay and questioning youth. And this is something that, you know, has been in the news recently. People that have been in the closet or were gay, not being bullied, committing suicide. This is like a project to help these kids not go down this horrible route.
Yeah.
And there's a comedian, her name is Amy T, that's the main event. And our own Pink Taco is going to be performing some songs at the show.
Fuck yeah, that's cool. The way it should be.
It's going to be held, like I said, this Thursday, November 4th, from 7 to 11:30 p.m. at Maria's Family Restaurant. It's 83 Essex Street in Haverhill, Massachusetts. It's $20, but you get a buffet and everything, so you get fed.
Awesome,
and you know, I'm going to try to make it up there. I'm not sure about these two, if they want to check it out or... But it's for a good cause. I mean, it's to help save people's lives.
Yep.
All right, well,
we're done for today.
Yep. Yes.
Spent.
We are spent. So until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
This is Melodic.
This is Anvil.
Saying sayonara, bitches.
We are the bastards.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's our sidetrack.